Dear congregation, beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been given of God in His providence to have been carried through a difficult year. Difficult in regard to many things happening around us in our world, in the government, in our nation, in our families. You in particular have experienced difficulty in church life, and you gather together on a morning like this and you look toward the future, perhaps with some measure of uncertainty and even perhaps a measure of fear, and yet even with expectation. That's where the disciples were at this time of our Lord's ministry as well. Our forefathers have gone through many difficult times, such as you experience as well. We know that in our Heidelberg Catechism, we are asked this question about the providence of God as He upholds all things. And there's this beautiful answer that they give. We're to remember, this is to our advantage, that the providence of God upholds all things. First, that we are to be patient in adversity. You have experienced adversity. We all, in some measure or other, have experienced the trials and challenges of life. Have we been patient, looking to the Lord to help us through them? Secondly, we are admonished, we are to be thankful in prosperity. There are many who have suffered in this season. Others have been greatly blessed, actually, financially and otherwise, during this time in which we spend more time together as families. We have reason to be thankful for so many things. But then they add, thirdly, we are to have trust in our faithful God and Father in all things that shall hereafter befall us, knowing that nothing shall be able to separate us from His love. That's where we're at today. A new year, a new beginning in many respects, where we don't know. Trusting our faithful God and Father in all things that shall hereafter befall us. That is a truth and a doctrine that has such immense comfort for the church of God. If you're here this morning and you know the Lord Jesus Christ and you know the Father, we can look toward this new year with great expectation, anticipation for what He is going to do. He is going to preserve and build His church. That's our confidence. That's our certainty that He has told us shall be accomplished. But for those of you who don't know Him, perhaps the fears and the uncertainties of what lies before you as a family, individual, or congregation presses you down. And so this morning, for all of us, there's a message from Christ Himself as He speaks to His group of disciples as they're going forward, anticipating the call that He has laid upon them to minister. And in light of that, I want to look at this verse in this context of Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Here Jesus says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." We're going to look at Jesus comforting His disciples, comforting His flock, His people, with two thoughts. First of all, the exhortation contained in this word. He says, "Fear not, little flock," and then gives a great expectation. "For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." So first the exhortation, and then we will look at the expectation. Jesus has been speaking to His disciples. It's why I read such a long portion here. But at the beginning of this chapter, what you see is Jesus telling us who and what we really ought to fear. If you go back to verse 4, He says, "Do not be afraid of those that kill the body and no more can do anything." But then 5, He says, "I will forewarn you. I will tell you who you should fear. Fear Him which after He hath power to kill and cast into hell. Yea, I say to you, fear Him." That's His Father. That's Almighty God. There are those who can harm their bodies, and as we look around us in the world today, there are those who are being persecuted for the name of Christ. We don't know what this new year holds for us. Will they persecute us, not only outwardly and financially in many ways as Christians, or will it actually come to the point we suffer physically? Jesus says, that's not what you're to fear. He will make provision. That's what his message to us this morning will be. He will make provision, but fear him and do not be afraid, if that makes sense. Fear God, and then we have no reason to fear all the other things that will be taking place. And he goes on to mention this very specifically. Don't fear when they bring you before the magistrates and before those who could put you in jail or those who could persecute you. Rather, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Don't be afraid of what you're going to put on or what you're going to eat, because I will, my Father will provide for you. And immediately after this, verse 31, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. He adds in his sermon here, if you will, and his message to his disciples, this little thought, this parenthesis, if you will, an exhortation. He says, fear not. Well, that may seem out of place in a certain way, because Jesus in another place says, while you have the bridegroom with you, you have no reason to mourn. But when he is taken, then those days will come, and then you will fast and you will mourn. But Jesus understood his disciples. He understood his sheep. He understands his flock. He knows, even after we have come to faith in Christ, we still have fears. We still look at the future of 2021, perhaps, and wonder what is going to take place personally and families and the church. And in the face of all our fears, he is telling us this morning, fear not. He was telling this to his disciples, and the message is the same to us. Well, we're not told specifically here what fears the disciples may have had. Of course, living in that context in that day, there may have been fears about how they were going to provide for their families as they went out to do the ministry that Christ had called them to do. They had been commissioned to the task of preaching the gospel, to minister to the world, actually. And how were they going to accomplish this in the face of what they saw taking place with their master? Only a short time later, their master is going to be taken and crucified. What about them? They had reason, perhaps, to fear. Maybe, too, they were afraid of themselves. They knew themselves to some extent. Peter would have to look back on his own denial of the Lord. I don't know the man, and confess, will I persevere to the end? Will I actually come into the kingdom of God? They knew as sinners they were prone to halt and stumble, that they were weak, sinful men. And as you enter into this new year and you anticipate what will take place as a small flock, maybe this is part of what burdens you and your cares. Will we make the right decisions? How will we live to the glory of God? What would become of this flock? And Jesus says, fear not. The disciples understood. They knew they were unworthy and unfit for this work. And Jesus here is assuring them that they should not be afraid. What is your fear as you come to the house of God the first day of this year? If I were to ask you and speak to you about this, what's your greatest fear today and as you look toward the future? Is it what's happening in the world? The uncertainty of even the past election? Is it the disease of COVID and perhaps a new strain that's circulating throughout the world? Is it perhaps your business or your family or loved ones? Or what's your fear? How this flock will prosper? Jesus says, fear not. Many of the things that we carry on us as our fears, we cannot even change. God is calling us to that sphere of responsibility that we have abilities and responsibilities to deal with and to work with. Maybe you're uncertain and fearful of the salvation of your children, your grandchildren. God is saying, we can't change one heart. Don't carry that burden. But carry the burden of what he calls you to carry, to pray for them, to speak earnestly with them, with the expectation God will bless. And so as we enter this new year, Jesus is saying, fear not. Don't carry those things that are in my Father's hand and his responsibility and his control. And notice what he does here. He attaches this phrase, this wonderful, encouraging word. Fear not, little flock. That's what you are as you gather here this morning as well. And what's it a reminder to us as you hear the word flock? What does that bring to mind, children? A flock of sheep. And a shepherd who's watching over them and caring for them. And really, they go about their business not even thinking where they're going to get their next meal, where they're going to drink fresh water, how they're going to escape enemies and wolves. No, it's the shepherd. His voice to his sheep. Little flock, don't be afraid. It's as if we could say God in his glory reaches down through his word this morning to us and gently whispers as the good shepherd into our ear. Don't be afraid, little flock. That's the message he comes to us with. What is this message? Remind us of it. Reminds us we must be a member of this flock. One of the sheep for which he is caring for. Has he not said, I have chosen you to be one of my sheep. I have purchased you with my own blood and given my life a ransom so that you could be gathered in to this flock. I found you as a sheep going astray, but I called you back. I brought you back into the flock. I've nourished you. I've fed you. I've brought you to this very place. Will I not care for you going forward? Will I not make provision for you in every way in this new year as well? Didn't I find you going on in your way of sin? And I, by my Spirit, convicted you and brought you to the Savior. Fear not, little flock. As you think about your role as parents, as a father and mother, a husband and wife, perhaps as we look to the new year with our children and the uncertainty of what it holds for us, we may be afraid. Jesus is saying, look to me. I will provide. I will watch. I will guide as a faithful shepherd. Fear not. And when we think of the flock, there are under shepherds that are given to the flock as well. You have a leadership committee. We trust in time to come to have office bearers. And in time to come, a pastor to lead you. But in all this, Paul is reminding the church, take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseer to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. My point is, in reading that passage, is to remind us that the flock is so precious to him, he gave his own blood. He gave his blood so that you may gather together to hear his word faithfully. And if he has given his own blood that you can gather together and hear these words of comfort and encouragement, how will he not then provide you with everything? You look at yourselves, understandably, we look at ourselves. We're little esteemed in our, hopefully in our own eyes. We're a little flock. We're a little gathering in many respects. And yet he comes to us and says, fear not, little flock, little may be in faith, little may be in numbers. But he is saying to you, fear not, little flock. And those who are the sheep of the good shepherd, they know his voice. They hear his voice. And Jesus says, no one shall ever pluck them out of my hand, my Father's hand. He gave them to me, and he is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out. And this is the reasoning Jesus is using here with his disciples. Don't be afraid, little flock. And he moves them from this picture of fear and littleness and smallness to his Father, to vastness, to glory, and to greatness. He goes on to say, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But before we consider that expectation that can be found of this flock, it's important for us individually to know with certainty, do I belong to that flock? The shepherd himself has said, if you believe not, it is because you're not of my sheep. This is a serious question as we begin this new year. If we're going to enter in with this expectation and this encouragement of promise, and we don't know whether we belong to the shepherd who's leading and guiding all of our steps, how will we have confidence? How will we have peace? And so if you don't know this great shepherd today, he is calling to you in the gentleness with which he deals with his own people. Don't be afraid. Come to me. I am the one who has life. I am the one who is able to guide and to lead you as the great shepherd, to gather you in my arms and to bring you into my fold. Dear friend, if the Lord has indeed, as the great shepherd, called you up as one of his sheep, he who has begun a good work in you has promised to continue that work until this coming of the kingdom in its finality on the last day. Jesus is the great shepherd. He himself said, I say to you, he that enters in not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and robber. But he that enters in the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his sheep by name, and leads them out. And he puts forth his own sheep. He goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And so if you know the voice of this good shepherd, you turn to his word, and in this year, as you turn to this word, he has promised to guide you. He has promised to speak to his flock, to his people. He stands, as it were, guarding at the door of this gathering of the sheep. He says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knows me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Why is it possible that Jesus could say to his disciples, don't be afraid, little flock? Because he entered into death, into hell itself, to be able to say to us this morning as well, as we enter in this uncertainty, don't be afraid. If there was anyone who would be fearful and afraid, it would have been our Lord as he entered the garden, knowing what lie before him, as he crawled as no other man upon the ground, the sweat becoming as drops of blood, seeing the cross and hell itself, and his father silent. But he went that way to bring us through every trial, every affliction, every sorrow, every challenge, and to be able to say that we need not fear. Because the shepherd is with us. And so he speaks later in these verses about the people of God, the disciples, to have their loins girt about, their lights burning and waiting for the Lord. In John 14, Jesus said, "Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus comforts us, exhorts us, "Fear not, little flock." But then he encourages us as well. And we'll look at that after we sing together from number 91. We'll sing that standing. Number 91, stanzas 2-5. So from the exhortation to us, and it's to us as a command, "Fear not, little flock." He goes on to give expectation, anticipation. For this reason, don't be afraid, because it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. If you've ever meditated and taken time to consider the relationship between Christ and his Father, it's a marvelous consideration, marvelous thought. Yes, he is the eternal Son of God. He is God. But he also came to earth and became man, a son. And in this way, as he relates to his Father, everything Jesus did, as you read the Gospels, and you read it in this light, you begin to see it very differently, perhaps, than you have before. But everything Jesus did was not first and foremost, pay for my people's sins, I need to do what I'm called to do and responsibilities. It was my Father. I love my Father. I will do whatever my Father asks me to do. Lo, in the volume of the book, it's written of me, I delight to do thy will, O God. From the very moment Jesus was born and grew up into the understanding, as a man, grew up into the understanding of God is my Father, his heart was filled with this one purpose. And so when his Father directed him, you're to go to the cross, you're to pay for the sins of your people, of the people I will give to you, he was willing to do this. From the very first words of Jesus that he recorded as having spoken, it was about his Father. Remember, he's there at the temple. He's disputing with the Pharisees and the lawyers, and his parents have gone off, and Mary comes back. Where have you been? What does he say? Don't you know? I must be about my Father's business. Christ ever delighted in setting forth his Father. No less than 60 times does he speak these words, my Father. And as those who are part of his flock, who are married to him, who is the elder brother, what are our thoughts about his Father? Our Father. My Father. As you continue in the history of Jesus, he says, don't you know, I must be about, yes, my Father's work. And he says, I am doing the work my Father has given me to do. My Father works hitherto and I work. And when his disciples were sad, when he had told them, I need to go away, he said to them, you have heard how I said to you, I go away and come again to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I go to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And after Jesus rose from the dead and he meets with Mary outside of the tomb, he said to her, touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. You see, when Christ was on earth and he's ministering to his flock, to his disciples, to his people, he wanted them to grasp and understand. He leads us to the Father. When we are in Christ, we are in essence one also with the Father. And so when Jesus is saying these words to his disciples and to us, fear not, little flock, it is for this reason, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Christ wants his people, he wants us, as we begin this new year, to lay hold by faith upon this reality and this truth. It's a reality that's so often been hidden from our view. It's hardly attainable. It's hardly understandable. Only a few, perhaps, would ever attain to be able to say, God is my Father. Not so according to what Jesus is teaching us and the Word of God is saying to us. So much has robbed the church and the flock from comfort by hiding from our view when we are in Christ. God is my Father. As you know, perhaps my wife and I were in the hospital going through COVID a few months ago, and I really didn't expect to come out when I went in. But part of what was comforting to me after a dark period was this truth. God is my Father in Christ. And He cares for me, watches over me. He will lead me. He will guide me. I have no reason to fear. This love, God is love, perfect love, drives away fear. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Why is it that you and I don't lay ourselves down beside a text like this and draw from it its rich comfort? The way in which Jesus sets forth His Father in our text, is that the way you think of Him? Or, as we are so prone to do, we listen to the liar, who from the very beginning asked the question, did God really say? And we're prone to ask the question too when we look at ourselves and we are afraid and we look at what maybe is happening and what's possibly going to happen in this new year, and we're fearful. We say, how could this word needs to be applied to? Oh, how could we have this to be such a great comfort? Has God really said? And Jesus is saying, I say to you, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Jesus wanted His people to understand this reality and this truth, to understand His Father was their Father. And He was preparing a place for them. And if He's preparing a place for you, why would you imagine that all through this wilderness and this place of trouble and trial through sin, He will not lead you and guide you individually as a group to this? For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That is rooted in the heart of God. It's rooted in the reality He was willing to give His own Son, the Good Shepherd, to death, that He might bring you into His kingdom. This very thought and encouragement and promise is a reminder, really, of the cost in order for Jesus to make these words to us. Jesus being able to open the way into the kingdom, open and restore the way to the heart of the Father, is only through His work. Through He laying down His life. And Paul says to us, what things shall we then say? If God be for us, who could be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? If we are in Christ, and He has bestowed upon us life, forgiveness, pardon, why do we continue to live at times as we do, wondering, questioning, fearful? He has given us this. Why would He not continue it? Why would He not bring us to the place where He delights to have us in His presence? It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And so often our eyes are here, are on the circumstances and on our lives and the troubles and trials and on people. And Jesus is lifting our eyes up to the place they need to be. Him and His Father. He's not saying it's your Father's duty to give you the kingdom. No, he chooses his words and he says, it's, notice, your Father's good pleasure. He delights. He rejoices. He, with great anticipation, is longing for the day in which all who are His Son Christ are brought to glory and His kingdom is established and every evil thing driven out. It's His good pleasure to give us the kingdom. In earthly life, if our Father is perhaps well-to-do, he has a good pleasure in giving things to His children and grandchildren. But that doesn't mean that that Father does not also correct and chastise His children as they are growing up. And that's true for us today as well. As we read in Hebrews, they, our fathers, have chastened us a few days after their own pleasure. But God chastens us for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them that are exercised by it. You perhaps have been through things in this year or in your life that you wonder, what is God doing? He seems distant. He seems afar. Why all this trouble and difficulty? But He's using all of it to shape in you, form you, and mold you, to prepare you for this kingdom. It's part of His work. He is fitting His flock for glory. He's conforming us to the image of His Son. And that will happen this year to His sheep as well. As we experience trial and affliction and difficulty, He wants to shape us, shape our words, our thoughts we think, our actions that we have to others, to conform us more and more to the shepherd, to prepare us for the kingdom. And when the great shepherd shall appear, we shall appear because we will be like Him in glory. And therefore, Jesus is saying, fear not, little flock, it's your Father's good pleasure. Let that be your encouragement as we enter in to this new year. I said earlier, we are so anxious about things that we have no control over and we are burdened by them. Jesus wants to take that all away and have us surrender all things into His Father's hand and do not be afraid. Just as you have found God to be faithful, as you look back in your life over various circumstances and trials and difficulties, He's brought you through to this present moment. Why do you imagine or think or fear He will not bring you to the desired kingdom? It's particularly addressed here to this little flock. But for those of you who are not a part of the flock still by faith, He is saying these words so you might consider it, might think about it. As you enter this year, this promise, if you're outside of Christ, it's not yours. But He comes to you through this same message, this same word, and He says, this could be yours. And it's only through Me, the Good Shepherd. Your Father, the Father of lights, knows what you stand in need of. Yes, regarding all your outward needs this year. But He knows particularly what your spiritual need is. He knows what your thoughts are about Him. He knows what your fears are. And He calls you to come with all those thoughts and all those fears and lay it at His feet and surrender your weapons of warfare against Him. Submit to Him. Submit to His word of the gospel. There is a kingdom which is coming. Are you ready and prepared, if it came in this year, to enter into the glory of the Lord? For the believer, This is his anticipation as John on the Isle of Patmos is looking, seeing all that is going to take place. He says, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. That's how we are called to live. In light of this promise, as we see the world falling apart, if that's what happens in this year, all difficult things perhaps happening, we are to lift up our heads knowing our redemption is drawing near and not be afraid. John says, beloved, now we are the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. If God is going to give us the kingdom in his good pleasure, he will give us all. Why will he withhold any good thing now? This year, tomorrow, next week, next month. Why would we imagine God, the Father, is going to withhold anything that will serve the purpose of his glory, of our salvation, of the growth of a little flock, of the growth of ourselves in sanctification? He won't. So let's go to him and plead this word of promise as we begin this new year. It is by faith that we lay hold upon this truth and we surrender this year and our life into his care, into his hand. So I ask you, is he worthy of your trust? Is he not the faithful God who upholds this whole world till this day? That you can trust him with everything. With every fear. Do you desire to have these words in your soul and your motto for 2021? Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. As if the Father is standing as in the prodigal of the story of the prodigal son with open arms. When we flee to him, all our burdens, all our fears, all our cares, all our sins, all our shortcomings of 2020. It's with arms of forgiveness and love and reconciliation and kisses of his mouth and promises that he gives us as we begin this new year. In John 6, those that heard Jesus said, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger. He that believes on me shall never thirst. But I said to you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is my Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Well, that's what's being prepared. All of those who see the Son, believe in the Son, and come to the Son, this kingdom of God and of glory is being prepared. We're 1 year closer to that time we will see him as he is, who we love, I trust. And if not, he's calling us the beginning of this year. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Father, we find these truths to be too much to believe in many ways. Our hearts are so fearful, and yet thy command has come to us. Do not be afraid. Help us in light of all that we may carry it in our life and all the concerns and cares we may have to take heed to this exhortation and command and to commit all of our way to thee, to trust in thee, and to believe this word of promise that it is our Father's delight to give us the kingdom. And so, Lord, help us in this year to live out this glorious truth, depending upon Thee, looking to Thee, trusting Thee, no matter what may come. Bless this group as they gather. Bless them as they perhaps will seek to be organized. And we pray that Thou would provide for them in every way as well. Go with us through the rest of today. Bless us and our families. And hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.